हेलो एंड वेलकम एवरीवन टू द 13th एपिसोड ऑफ इस पॉडकास्ट को क्या नाम दूँ। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल मुझे अभी भी यकीन नहीं हो रहा है। आई कांट बिलीव दैट रिद्स एंड आई हैव रीच्ड सो फार, एंड इट्स ओनली बिकॉज ऑफ ऑल ऑफ योर लव, सपोर्ट, काइंड कॉमेंट्स एंड इंटेंस इंटेंस लव फॉर IPK। सो थैंक यू सो मच। वन मोर रिक्वेस्ट, आई नो बाय एट दिस पॉइंट लिसनिंग टू ऑल द रिक्वेस्ट यू ऑल मस्ट बी पकआउट एट दिस पॉइंट, बट प्लीज डू हेल्प अस रीच 1,000 सब्सक्राइबर्स बाय सेप्टेम्बर। इट वुड मीन द होल वाइड वर्ल्ड फॉर ऑल ऑफ अस। नाउ टूडे आई डू हैव अ फ्रेंड एंड अ वेरी स्पेशल गेस्ट ऑन दिस पॉडकास्ट। प्लीज इंट्रोड्यूस योर सेल्फ।
Hey, hi everybody. This is Amrita. I am Amrita underscore 12 on India Forum. I have been a massive fan of this show, and I'm so happy that Ritz and S started this podcast. And I'm finally getting a chance to speak to these guys because I just love what they're doing with the show and the kind of conversations we are having on this show, and that is so rich and deep. Which goes beyond just fangirling over the good things about IPK that we all know, and we have always they were very evident to all of us. Okay, but the kind of conversations we are now having, we really forced to go revisit some of the scenes and think again and see many things in a very different way now. So I'm really thankful to these guys.
Oh, you're too sweet. You're too sweet about this. So episode 13, before we go further with our current episode, I would like to ask Amrita a few questions.
Sure.
So I think the biggest question is, when and how did you fall in love with IPK?
Okay, I have a slightly convoluted journey with IPK, honestly speaking. My first encounter was IPK. It did not go very well because I had seen that calendar shoot wala scene. And without any context or anything, all of a sudden, I saw a group of people just bullying a girl into wearing something which she really did not want to wear. It was offensive beyond imagination for me. And I think I was kind of done with this entire thing of a good looking angry man just being angry all the time. And there's this very lovely looking girl being upset because she can't fight this behavior because there is a disbalance of power between them. I just don't know. I remember I had just seen that scene and I felt really, really, really upset by what was happening to her. Okay. And I immediately changed the channel. And after that, during that period, I used to stay. I had two flatmates and both of them used to watch that show pretty on and off. So they were pretty well versed with it. And they used to repeat the, I think every Saturday they would repeat all the episodes of that week. And so during lunchtime, I would end up watching a few scenes and my friend would try to tell me, okay, this is happening, which I used to find very confusing. And then I went home during one of my annual leaves. Okay. And I saw my parents watching the show. My father really loves Khushi. Okay. Whenever the repeat comes on TV, he still watches it. And 8 o'clock, nothing is going to happen other than the fact, we cannot go anywhere. We can't plan anything. Nothing can happen except, we have to watch this show. And I was like, what is happening? This is the same show. And this is what that guy was doing that day. And the scene that I watched was that the post-wedding, they were running around with the fake divorce paper around the pool. Okay. And they have that Rabbave moment where she kind of he kind of again saves her from falling into the pool and all that. And then luckily right after that was a Diwali episode. So yeah, so I just felt, okay, fine. It doesn't look too bad now. So I went back and then I started watching it. And then I visited India Forum and I realized too many things have happened. I have no clue about these scenes and these incidents. Let me just start watching the episodes on YouTube. And then it was just IPK, IPK, IPK. I realized that it was a far richer attempt at telling a story of two people having very different approach toward problem, towards life and everything. It was problematic. I won't deny that I did not still find a few things problematic. That calendar shoot incident, I still don't like it, though it is one of the key peak moments of IPK, if I were to infer it in that way, but I still honestly can't digest it. I find it very, very troubling. So yeah, that's how my journey with IPK started. And yeah, I must admit that another reason why I was I'm still a fan of IPK is because of the amazing fan fictions all these writers wrote, and like, you know, we all got to read those stories and we are still reading them. I don't think IPK would have reached the cult status it reached without the kind of writing we saw all the most of these like people like, you know, churning out. That is just amazing. So yeah.
So what's your favorite moment in IPK where you're like, I'm done for this show? Ho gaya mera.
Favorite moment? Oh god, like, okay. I think it's still that pool wala scene. That bangle pool scene. I still find, I think that is like perfect. Just that moment where, you know, the way, like, you know, she's very conscious of the fact that, like, you know, what is he doing? He's too close to me. And the bangle drops and she's like, yeah, kya kare? And then he kind of like, mera hi pool hai, you remember? So his like characteristic, like, you know, arrogance is still there. He's like, you know, he's in, like, he is caught in the moment, but his like, you know, signature arrogance and all is still there. It's very true to what he is. And that entire thing of like, chhoda lo apna dupatta, and the way she says, I can do everything on my own, and the way he just, and he says it very softly, okay? He never raises his voice or doesn't do too much with his acting. And I think that's Varun. Varun was phenomenal in that scene. And then the kissing scene. And I was like, oh my God, I am in like IPK heaven. And another scene I really, really still enjoy watching. Because it was, I think it, the moments that scene has is fantastic is that one. When he says ki tumne apne haath mein A likhaya hai, same day incident, I think it happens before the pool scene happens, okay? And she is like, Khushi Kumari Gupta, and he's like, acha, okay, tumhare naam mein bhi A hai. So that entire conversation happened like so, like, that the flow is so nice. There is a rhythm to it. I don't think you can script it and you can coach people to converse in that manner. So it was the entire conversation between the two characters, and you know, the small things Varun used to do, his pauses and his hums and like, you know, gestures and all. I think that is like a scene that really, really still works for me. That one and the pool one. So yeah.
Yeah. And Sanaya is so fab. Like, we've seen so many actresses portray, like, Khushi as a character is very common, right? Like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Perfect bordering on manic pixie dream girl. But the way Sanaya always portrayed Khushi with just a touch of gravity was always so beautiful to watch. Like, you know that it's not Khushi's outright denial is coming from a point of attraction, and she's aware of it, and it's all evident through Sanaya's face and acting.
Yeah.
Which I found just charming. And that is also Ridz's favorite scene, the A and
Sorry, I just thought of one more scene. I'll just like quickly touch upon it. And this is again mostly from a like screenplay progression point of view. Okay, this is that scene before that poolside kiss happens during the Diwali night. So if you'll notice, it's almost a 5-minute scene without any dialogue, but the emotions are constantly like, you know, shifting from, okay, I am feeling aware of the fact that we are physically close to each other. I am feeling something for you. There's some sense of longing, and then the surprise that, okay, it looks like this is going to get reciprocated. I am like, I think I'm in love with you. Wow. Like, you know, I'm like physically attracted. So there were so many emotions, and there's not even one dialogue that is supporting it. And obviously it was shot so beautifully. That entire setup was so lovely to like, you know, watch. And you really feel that, you know, whatever shifts there are happening in the emotions of these two characters, you're following that journey. And I think that is so brilliant, especially for an Indian TV show, that somebody actually, a team of people actually felt, okay, we'll give it this moment of silence. Fantastic.
Absolutely. I think one of the beautiful things that in my eyes always set IPK apart from its contemporaries and just made it stand out as a classic is how they used silences, like their affection for minimalism when it comes to expressing emotions is, I think, what really made it famous. Because I think one of my film professors told me that you see 25% and you create the 75% in your head.
Wow, that's a lovely thing. Yeah, I think that could be achieved with that scene.
Exactly. The fact that there's so much of silence, you're creating the love story in your head. So Bravo, bravo, bravo. And now we will end up, we will continue to dhalai this this track, because there are many places over here. So today's track, what is today's track? Today we are going to be discussing the point where it's Anjali and Shyam's anniversary. And Khushi, she got hired to prepare sweets for it. So then she comes to Shantivan, which is a very ironic name for the Raizada's house, that it's called Shantivan. Because there's anything but peace, as in Shanti, in that house. And then Arnav and Khushi, they meet again. And then Khushi loses her pile. She leaves. And then Lavanya creates this whole ruckus. Our point of focus would be the entire thing, the Lavanya whole character, Dheela getting drunk, and the tandav that happens after that. So since we are still in the early stages of IPK, I do think that the likes kind of outweigh the dislikes. So I will begin with things that we disliked in the show. Amrita, please go forward.
Okay, so I think my biggest problem in this entire phase was Nani's reaction, okay, towards Lavanya, her ways, because I just find it very baffling to understand. There is this woman who's constantly belittling somebody because she feels that the culture that she represents or her ways, everything is not up to the standard that she behold for her own family. Okay, fair enough. Your grandson is in love with this girl and you are not able to make peace with her ways. I get that. But what I really don't get is, like, you are the oldest member of the family. Okay. And you're constantly talking about hamara sanskar, hamara ye, hamara wo. And you do not display one iota of that sanskar taught wisdom while you're handling this scene. You are supposed to show a little bit of more empathy, kindness towards making this. Firstly, I'm against the fact that why did they even have to show that they need to change Lavanya's ways to make sure she fits into the family? Eventually, it should be about how happy your grandson is and how Lavanya is in this entire setup, because eventually it's about these two people, okay, and the relationship and the love and the respect they have for each other. Keeping that aside, there was no conversation about that. Nobody really gave two hoots about it, except maybe Shyam, because she was shown as the most idle damad in the world during that phase. So he did speak a lot of sense, and the way he used to diffuse those scenes, I'm really happy, because those scenes still work for me, though I know, like, you know, what is the background behind it. Like, that was just a facade that he had put up. But still it worked, because there was nobody who would say a kind word to Lavanya in those days. I did not see anybody. Everybody was either, like, mommy was in her own, she was like doing her own thing, her mommy-like things, okay? You can't really peg her. Is she being like really evil about it, or is she just having fun, or is she just being the Narad Muni, the entire situation? But I never saw anybody just going and having a sensible chat with Lavanya. There is no kindness, no affection shown towards this woman. And she wants to be a part of your family. How are you treating her? Even if she has done something wrong, like where is your kindness? Like your sanskar, your wisdom, whatever, I don't know. Not even once did she feel that, okay, I need to go and have a heart-to-heart discussion with this girl. Let me have a chat with her. Let me, like, you know, make her understand my point of view. And then maybe things are still not working. That's a different thing. But what is Nani doing? She's berating Lavanya for not taking a shower, lying to everybody, saying ki main naha ke aayi ho for aarti and everything. And she actually says things like, sachai aur shraddha man ma hoti hai, and all that. So by the same logic, even if Lavanya has not taken a shower, uske man mein shraddha hai. Why are you creating such a big deal about it? And imagine, how is the family starting their day? By this woman completely, like, flying off the handle because this person has done something. And I never sensed that Nani actually was honest in giving Lavanya a chance to, like, you know, to show that, yeah, she means well. Okay, her mind was always closed off. Even on the day of the Shyam and Anjali's anniversary, that entire day had like too many downs compared to the ups. Honestly speaking, out of all the downs, two were caused by Nani ji directly. First is that दूध लाइक बादाम हलवा वाला फियास्को. ओके शी हैज ड्रॉप्ड इट प्लीज. आई एम वेरी श्योर देयर आर यू डिड नॉट मेक हलवा लाइक यू नो ऑफ सच स्मॉल क्वांटिटी. यू मस्ट हैव लाइक दिस शुड बी अ बिट मोर टू लाइक यू नो लाइक अफेक्शनली फीड योर दामाजी. बट दामाजी वॉज वेरी सेंसिबल एंड ही फाउंड अ सोल्यूशन and everything which was really nice of him. But okay, you create a ruckus, you like really make the atmosphere very like toxic, honestly speaking. You make so many members of your own family feel so bad about the entire incident, and later in front of everybody, okay fine, Lavanya has acted out, she has done whatever she has done, and you are doing this thing again in front of everybody. And who like Anjali is already upset, okay, because whatever happened that day. On top of that, you are saying that Lavanya has done this, Lavanya has done that. She is nonsense. Matlab, Nani, please, you are supposed to guide her. Please guide her. Instead of that, you're just being very vindictive. That's what I felt she was being. She was very vindictive to prove that Lavanya is a wrong choice. And no matter what she does, who helps her, what happens, I'm not going to be there for her. Yeah.
Yes, I think one of the things that I disliked majorly throughout this track, and especially in these episodes that becomes more obvious, is that they actually do not show any real flaws in Lavanya or any valid reason why Nani is not sure about Lavanya. Like, I think this entire track would have been way more digestible that, okay, Nani has 99 wrong impressions about Lavanya, but there is this one thing that she is right about Lavanya and Anna's relationship, where I just wish if Nani ever went like, yeah, this relationship will not work because Chote is not invested in for a long term with Lavanya, but Lavanya is. Why doesn't anyone realize that I see this relationship not working out and that Lavanya is brought home only because it's Chote's zid? Like, I'm not saying she would stand up for Lavanya, but wisdom and like, you know, age gives you certain sense of wisdom, and if Nani was at least right about one thing, then a lot of her actions would have been more justified. And I really wish that they gave Lavanya one flaw, because not understanding rituals, especially as someone who is probably raised abroad, she her home is in London, so I just wish there was genuinely one flaw with Lavanya. Maybe Lavanya truly does not respect elders, or Lavanya belittles people who do not abide by her sense of ethics and lifestyle. I wish there was something genuinely to point out at Lavanya, so you could see that there is a genuine, like, you know, point of conflict, as opposed to Nani just not liking Lavanya because Lavanya is not her sense of who she imagined for Arnav, and Lavanya just being lost. I really wish that they genuinely did give a flaw to Lavanya that Khushi could have actually helped with. Like, maybe Khushi came to help Lavanya with superficial things, but by giving an actual flaw to Lavanya, you could have always showed a much more beautiful way in how Khushi genuinely helped Lavanya become a better person. That is one thing that's there. A small random technical thing that always just keeps on bugging me is the disappearing image of Shyam and Anjali in Anjali's bedroom. Like, where does this picture go later in the show? It is so obvious that Shyam and Anjali are there in the background. And whenever I look at that picture and there's this one scene where Khushi misses the picture, I become like, kya yaar, how is this missable? And then just a tiny little thing that always pisses me off when Khushi's in Arnav's cupboard is, okay, she's in his cupboard. First of all, it's the glass is translucent, okay? You can clearly see someone is inside, but it's okay. Arnav is absent-minded, so that's okay. I'm just like, the way they direct the scene of Khushi just jumping around and making noises in the cupboard, like, she wants to be found out. It's not even accident. I just have a little bit of a pet peeve with that particular scene. And this is something that on a larger scale, I start getting irritated a wee bit over here, is how Khushi does not spot Shyam. And this is an event that is Shyam and Anjali's anniversary, and it slowly and gradually gets on my nerves that Khushi never spots Shyam in very obvious moments. Like, I'm just like, Shyam has the greatest luck in the universe. because he does not even attempt at hiding. So I think I just, like, you know, not seeing Shyam in his own anniversary is like, this is way too much luck and coincidence for me to digest. And I think I slowly and gradually get tired of this trope. Like, probably when this happened for the first time in the show, I didn't have a problem with it. Like, you know, that Khushi misses out on Shyam and Shyam escaped by, like, you know, like by Lady Luck on his side. But I slowly and gradually really get tired because they keep on repeating this thing of Khushi continuously missing Shyam in very obvious circumstances. So it becomes irritating by the end of it.
I think they stretch that bit for a very, very long time. By the time she spots Shyam, I just find it very, I don't know, like, for how long do you want me to, like, you know, not believe that she used to work in that house? She used to, like, you know, even beyond her, like, you know, working hours, she's still there doing something or the other, helping somebody or the other, having some moment with Arnav, having some conversation with Naniji, Lavanya, blah, blah, blah. And she never spots this guy. She never sees that picture. Like you rightly said, what happened to that? That was such a huge picture which was hung up on the wall. And you don't really have to be inside the room to spot it. Even if you're in the corridor and you just look toward the room, you can see that, right? So that, I think they just tried to milk it for a very, very long time, and it became unbelievable after a point of time, because writing was pretty believable in the show for at least some time. So, yeah, that was there. And like you're saying, I think these guys in Indian shows, there's a problem with peripheral vision. Nobody has it. And Mamiji's, like, I don't know, like, I love Mamiji, but I just don't know why was she so evil here? Why Mamiji, why? And what repercussions that one action had for that entire Gupta family? Like, just imagine somebody stooping down to that level just to, like, score a point. It is, like, unforgivable. And I'm still asking Mami, why did you do it?
You know, this is something that we said in the previous episode. Rids and Australian Desi had said that this is, the Raizadas suffer from an intense amount of entitlement. So for Mami, what she saw as, which is very strange because she once came from a class much lower than the Guptas, but I think for Mami, it really does not matter. I sometimes wonder if she did that because she knew how much it would affect the Guptas, considering she once came from a family where money meant a lot. But it's also a real sense of entitlement where you do not see how your actions affect someone, like, you know, affect someone beyond your own opinion or your own decision. And I really like what you said about the Raiza, the whole show having a problem with peripheral vision, because Mami, the way she deals with Payal and Khushi, she kind of treats them like servants, asks them to serve food and everything, and I'm just like, wow, no one sees that. And okay, it's a huge, like, it's a huge party and everything, so I can understand why no one catches it. But I'm also like, I just have so many opinions on the way Mami treats Khushi and Payal terribly. And probably this is one of the occasions where it's okay that nobody actually notices it. But her behavior over here was very problematic. And, you know, when I just remembered about the whole picture photograph thing, like, I would have always loved it if when Khushi was claiming her innocence and everything to Arnav would have been like, there's a big photo frame in my D's room, how did you miss it, Khushi? I would be like, boy, I'm so in your team of not believing Khushi right now. Like, I wish they addressed that flaw in the future episodes. It would have made a lot more sense. And yeah, I really did not like the way how Mami treated Payal and Khushi, treating them like servants, and Payal and Khushi, like, you know, quietly taking that treatment.
Yeah, I found it very disturbing to watch, honestly speaking, because they really needed that job and they desperately needed that payment. They were just, like, bullied into doing things which were just so wrong.
Yes. And then the few other things that I intensely disliked in this episode that unfolds in the future episodes. I really hated when Nani directly draws a comparison about Khushi and Lavanya in front of Anjali, because Khushi is... I know that Khushi is... It's just very weird that Nani compares Khushi and Lavanya in front of Anjali, because we later learn that Nani intentionally did that so as to Anjali thinks about Khushi and everything. So I found that very weird that this was not Nani just making a comparison of, oh, here are two women of the similar age and look at how different they are. Nani intentionally told this so as to Anjali thinks that, oh, let me try and get Khushi into the circumstance so as to Arnav sees Khushi. Like, it was weird. Like, you're shipping my main couple. I love Arnav and Khushi together, but I don't agree with you here, Nani. And also one thing that I really hate, this is with the background music, is one thing I loved up until now is that when Shyam would be nice to Anjali or rest of the family members, you would get a really good background music. And I think that worked so well in effectively hoodwinking the audience into, like, is he a good guy at the end of the day? What's happening? Because from here on, we start getting Shyam's creepy music whenever he lies. I'm like, Abha's an excellent actor. Please don't give me music that confirms what his expressions are confirming. So whenever Shyam now speaks to Anjali, covering up for his lies or anything, we get that creepy Dayaho version in the background. So we don't even have to think twice that Shyam is lying about what's happening. And I often wonder that if they had only continued that when Shyam is around the Raizadas to have a positive background music, it would have been so much more difficult for us also to understand where is exactly Shyam heading, and much more believable for all of us to understand that how effectively he blinds the entire Raizada family members to his actions.
Yeah. Another problem I had during this phase was Buaji and the way she had started shipping Shyam and Khushi. Like, why Buaji? Like, I have this question that I'm asking why of, like, a bit too many times, but I'm just baffled. Like, why would you do this? Like, I don't even have the energy to be angry about it because I'm just so upset. Like, what made you feel that, like, Shyam, like, you know, if you really pay attention to what he was doing, you could see that he was looking, the way he would look at Khushi is now kind of bordering on something which is very creepy. Okay, and like you rightly said, it was always aided with that villainous music. So it became very obvious for all of us to understand, okay, there is, like, you know, no good intention here. This will definitely lead to some kind of trouble. But I don't know. Khushi was, I think, shown as somebody who is 18 in this phase. And then I don't know why is a Buaji in so much hurry to, like, you know, get her married to somebody when there is this entire thing of ki babuji ka dukan, like, you know, girvi hai and we have to take care of that, and they have already pawned off, like, you know, Buaji's bangles and everything. But amidst all that, all Buaji could concentrate on was, like, you know, some underlying current within Khushi and Shyam Baba. Why Buaji, please? There are so many more important things happening in your life. Please take care of those things first. This will happen later.
I just wonder that if Buaji was in office, she would have she would have made Arnav and Khushi get married within the second day. She's like, oh, I see that. Yeah, but also, like, I wouldn't blame Buaji too much because I think, first of all, they come from a background where I think a woman turning 18 is a good enough age to start looking for men, and could probably Buaji thinks that because she's absent-minded, so she would not realize that she is the object of affection of a really decent, from a very decent man. So that's not really my problem here. My problem over here is how Buaji totally does not take into account whether or not Khushi is reciprocating any of that. But yeah, I think, like, honestly, that's all that I disliked about this. I think a lot of my dislikes from here is that it plants a lot of seeds that becomes a major problematic issue in the future. Because it's still, like, I think there are quite a lot of more things that I liked about this. So if you don't have any more dislikes, do we hop on to the like?
I have just one more point. It's just an observation. This is what you just said about Buaji and maybe why she felt that Shyam is a good fit for Khushi. I think another reason why she felt that, because Shyam would balance Khushi's flightiness and the Sanka Deviness very nicely. You know, he was a very, very good support to that. Like, you know, she would, I think she felt he's somebody who can calm her down, who can make her see sense. So it's almost like a male version of Payal. Payal does, like, you know, help her sister see sense and react more sensibly most of the time. But this was the time when Khushi also was not somebody who was doing bizarre thing all the time. She was pretty sensible, especially during this period when she wanted to set up this, like, you know, her sweet mart and everything. She was very sensible in the way she dealt with things and all. And she was somebody who had just, like, you know, faced that huge trauma of guest house incident. I think Buaji maybe somewhere felt that, you know, Khushi needs somebody like a Shyam to balance her, like, you know, the more flighty, airy side that she used to associate very strongly with Khushi. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, completely agree with that. So now, shifting to what we liked about the episode, I will brush over a few technical details that I liked about this. I love the Salwar Kameez Khushi wore, and even Payal, but oh my god, that with the little stonework and everything, I'm like, oh my god, no wonder Arnav was quiet when he looked at Khushi. Koi bhi diwana ho jayega. And her makeup in this episode was bang on. The kajal was slightly smoky, so she had her eyes looked gorgeous because her eyes aren't dark, you know, they're slightly hazel. So when her eyeliner is a bit smoky, it just adds to the effect. Her lipstick, her lip gloss was the perfect shade, and I really love how they put the slight, like, you know, how her braid was just loose enough for a few strands. She looked beautiful. Actually, all the women looked beautiful. Anjali looked breathtaking. Lavanya looked, oh my god. Lavanya was an angel, and Payal also looked beautiful. Yeah, that's there. They all looked, I think, just props to the costume designer and makeup artist for this episode, like, complete sixer. And then I really like all the Rabbave that was happening. Like, you know, the first Rabbave where you get to know that Arnav and Khushi can always sense each other by this slight silence. Like, all the background music, all the background scores, they all drop to the slight wind. And I think that's always, like, it's so wonderful to hear that even if you just heard this episode, you would realize that Arnav and Khushi can feel each other because the entire ambient noise just, like, you know, it just gets sucked into a little wind. And then the Rabbaves are so, they used slight, like, you know, this is something that I miss in the second half of the show is, they don't have these delicate Rabbaves where it's mostly instrumentals or, like, it's really one or two instruments that's playing the tune. So that was there. In general, this whole episode was aesthetically beautiful. The set design, the props, the lighting, the cinematography, the editing. One thing I love about IPK is that had this been any other show when Arnav would have opened the cupboard and seen Khushi, we would have gotten like 3-4 multiple cuts of Arnav being in shock. But the editor and the director literally just cut it to Arnav's face being shocked, like he's shocked, and Khushi, and that close-up of her eye just, like, you know, getting freaked out. It is so beautiful because that allows the actors to act. And you can enjoy that moment with the actors because you're not taken in by random. The editing is not speaking for you. The actors are, which in every circumstance, that should be the case. So that is some of the technical things that I absolutely love. I love the way the argument is structured also. I will touch more on this a little bit later, but I love the way the argument is structured in terms of dialogue. Very clever dialogue writing when he stops her by the pool to talk to her. And I really like the entire set design for the pool. I think the lights, the soft lights that they use literally makes Khushi like glow. And I love much, much later by the poolside when Arnav picks the pile. So beautifully shot because you see the water, the lights of the water and all being reflected on his face. And I don't know what's there, but Barun looks exceptionally handsome in that one shot where he's holding the pile. So those are all the technical likes from me. What about you, Amrita?
Okay, so like you said, I really felt that the Khushi and the moments that we get to see in this phase, okay, they were all short and executed with a lot of, like, you know, gentleness, I would say. Like, you know, nothing feels rushed, okay? Even the first time they kind of, like, you know, she enters and he is, like, you know, passing by and there's this entire or like, you know, the people have those curtains which is kind of not letting them see each other. It's not rushed. So this entire sense of like, am I even like thinking straight, what is wrong with me? And this other person is very afraid to like, you know, come back to the same place where she like, you know, she, there is a very solid chance of like, you know, meeting this guy, and she was really doing everything to avoid him. Even that said, you know, the kind of breezy gentleness it has, it just like lets you like, you know, like absorb the moment so beautifully, and you see beyond the thing that, yeah, he was like, he could have, his actions had a very dangerous outcome for Khushi, her physical well-being, but you know, he has a different, there is another part of Arnav is constantly mulling over it, okay, and maybe he's having these inner thoughts, and he's not obviously vocal about it because he still can't admit that what he did was wrong, but he's constantly thinking about this person. And you know what I find extremely stunning here is, and this was still not the phase where either of these guys were like, had any kind of romantic feelings for the other person, despite that that gentle rabavi works, because it just showing the emotion. I don't know, teraf there. I don't know how do you show turbulent thinking and equate it with like, you know, a teraf wala treatment. And it is done beautifully. There are two opposite ends of the spectrum, but just see the way it's treated. Obviously the cupboard scene is kind of bizarre, honestly speaking, but I love it because these two actors and their acting and the treatment, the pauses, like rightly you said, the editing is not taxing your senses. It is allowing the viewer to get synced into this small world these two guys have created, where one guy is extremely baffled, what the hell did I just see? And she's like still very afraid of this guy. She just wants to run out of the place. Just see again the treatment it got. Beautiful. Everybody is just allowing the viewer to just watch it and feel things for themselves. Nobody is telling you this is how you need to feel, this is what you need to think. Same that poolside scene, beautifully done. And you know, when I was watching it, I was thinking how close this is to the setup and the color scheme to the Diwali scene. It's again shot very beautifully. Again, not a moment which is very pleasant, because they're still fighting and she's still very upset and angry and afraid, and he is still trying to like have the upper hand in the argument. But just again, see how beautifully it is done, and it doesn't overwhelm you. Oh God, these guys are angry. Look at them; they're having an argument. No, they're like, you know, they're having this very heated argument, but it's not heated enough or obvious enough for people to see from outside, because they have guests over there, right? And just see the treatment; it marries the way the argument was like unfolding. So this was like, I think the peak golden period of IPK, when the technical team was just like winning brownie points after like one round after another. It was just too good.
Absolutely. And you know, two things, I got two things that I'd like to touch upon what you said. First of all, the color scheme, you're right, the color scheme, it's you see it on Diwali as well. And the reason why Karwa Chauth, in my eyes, Karwa Chauth, Arnav and Khushi's Karwa Chauth, is the perfect finale. Apart from the fact that it's really one of the last scenes where you actually get to see what Arnav and Khushi are famous for, their passion and intensity and humor and everything. It's also because it follows a nearly identical color scheme that we get over here. You know, Arnav in blue, solid color, Khushi in red and the poolside. And I think that it was beautiful. And yeah, one thing that I really like that they establish over here is how they're somehow comfortable being in very intimate spaces of each other. There is this quiet consent where Arnav knows he can step into a certain personal space of Khushi, and Khushi knows that she can be in. This is on a very subconscious level. Like this, we're getting into real like levels of conscious and subconscious over here, because the minute they hear somebody else, they move apart. But when they are with each other, they both allow the other person to be that close to them, because you don't see that with Shyam and Khushi. One thing that I constantly love is the minute Shyam lingers his gaze on her for a moment, for a second more, or takes a step towards her, Khushi's immediately like, why are you looking at me like that? What's happening? Like when Khushi's about to get burnt by the hot oil and Shyam catches her, her reflex action is to take it out, take her hand away. Like for me, the biggest difference between Shyam and Arnav, Shyam independent of like, you know, if Shyam was not married and everything, if he was a good guy, the biggest difference I find between Shyam and Arnav is that Arnav chooses, I mean, Khushi chooses Arnav. That's the biggest difference. It's her consent. It's the man she's attracted to and the man she's okay with being in her personal space. And I think you really get that, especially the argument. I find it so fascinating because in their minds, they're polar opposite people, but physically they're so close, which is so strange because usually when you direct arguments, you have people at, you use the distance in your room, in your set, to show people being at, like, you know, at opposite ends of an argument. But what I find so fascinating in this argument is that they're arguing with each other, but they're physically so close. So it's almost like there's another conversation happening in the background that we aren't entirely aware of. And I really like it that this sets off the slow burn that comes to a full circle on the night of Diwali.
Yeah, another thing I really liked about this phase is, you know, despite all the rubbaways and the beautiful lighting and set and everything, Arnav and Khushi still never thought of each other in any kind of with any kind of romantic feelings. It was always with that sense of skepticism from Arnav that, am I really feeling something beyond outright anger and derision for this person? Because he's just out there to prove how wrong Khushi is with everything, in all her ways, okay? And Khushi, because she was like, right before this thing happened, her interaction with Arnav was when she resigned from, like, you know, she, like, you know, gives him her resignation and everything, and the incident that happened because of which she had to take that step. So she is still very afraid of this guy. And like in that kitchen scene when she was making sweets and all that, she was like, you know, still, all she could think about Arnav was, this is the guy who is responsible for all the miseries in my life and everything that is going wrong with me and my loved ones is all because of Arnav. So like I'm saying, like, this is actually what she feels for him. Despite that, when you see the rabbavis happening, you can sense that there is something very gentle, very pure. Just, you just need to explore it a bit further. Like, you know, just give yourself a chance. Like, you know, allow the other person to present a different side of themselves. And there's something very beautiful waiting to happen for you guys. Like I said, like, you see the anger, you see that is completely justified. You see the rabbavi moments and you feel this is completely justified. And that's what the team has achieved, which I think is phenomenal, honestly speaking.
Yeah. And now shifting to probably my most favorite character, Shyam. I'll get back to Arnav and Khushi, but, like, you know, a quick side note to Shyam. The whole scene where Shyam imagines Khushi instead of Anjali, so well directed. I kid you not, when I watched it for the first time, I mean, I know Shyam is the villain and everything, but when I watched it, I did not, when I saw that happen, when Shyam misunderstood Anjali for Khushi, I felt the creeps right in my soul. I just went like, oh my God, this is creepy. This is so creepy. It's frightening. And I love it because this scene does not have any monologue from Shyam. We just get to see what he thinks of Khushi. And I think, and you can just see, this is where they use the background music effectively, because we don't have a monologue from Shyam and Shyam is still being romantic. So for us to know that this is being creepy is that that immediate change. I mean, I credit it all to Abhas, is that immediate change that goes from to being a loving husband to immediately he switches into this little creepy, obsessive person who his entire look changes to how he views Khushi. My soul shook when I look at that. I'm like, oh my God, this guy is creepy. It's genuinely, it is this subtle moment where I just went like, oh, this dude's creepy as hell. And we slowly and gradually got to know Shyam's agenda. Like in the beginning, we were doubting that, is actually Shyam attracted towards Khushi? And we look at that and we see where Shyam sees Khushi, in his wife's place. And we go like, oh boy. I really like that they allowed his villainy to grow with the plot. So he's not someday, he's not the one person who enters on the very first episode and is like, oh, look at me. I want to replace Anjali with another woman. Here I find Khushi, the end. Not like that. We just see it evolving. This is, I think, one of my turnoffs for IPK3, apart from its blinding lights and editing and
CGI.
Yeah, and
CGI is the part of the CGI.
Yes, the CGI and WTF plot for the second half of the show is, the minute I saw Adva, I was very intrigued. I'm very intrigued by a handsome man with a mysterious past. I'm like, yes, that's my kryptonite. So I watched it, and in the very first episode, within 5 minutes, Adva tells me his entire plan. That he's going to find Chandni, he's going to destroy her. I'm like, haan bhai, ek hi episode mein khatam kar do kahani. You tell me everything in the first thing. He tells me his whole past, he tells me everything, and that just turned me off. So I looked at that and I'm like, haan bhai, khatam hi kar lo, done, deal done. But with Shyam, what I really like is, unlike the Kamalikas, he does not come with a specific agenda. You see his agenda being revealed. It's another treat.
Yeah, I am completely there with you. I think that scene still, like, you know, makes me feel very afraid for Anjali, because she's not seeing what is happening with this guy, and the way his expressions are changing.
Yes. It's
downright creepy and very scary to watch. And this poor woman, she's so trusting, and she thinks that husband is, like, you know, Bhagwan ka avatar and everything. I was like, this guy is demented. Please, please run away immediately. Get help. Do something. Do not be in this closed room with him. I was, like, scared for Anjali. Like you said, Abhas was, like, he took that scene to some other level with his acting. Like you said, it did not have his monologue giving the, like, again, like, you know, giving cues to people, okay, he's being evil, this is what he's thinking. Because if you do not give the context of what has happened before or what is going to happen in future, and you just make somebody watch the scene, you will just think that this is a regular hero, like, you know, who's just fantasizing about his lady love, right? And then you're like you rightly said, you know, because Khushi, I think it looks very creepy despite Shyam not doing anything obviously wrong. It's because there was lack of, like, Khushi never, like, felt comfortable enough for to be very physically close to Shyam, like you rightly pointed out. Okay, that despite Arnav doing all the things that he did with Khushi, she could still allow him to stand so close to her, okay, in that physical space. That constant, that sense of security, I would say, I don't know, like, you don't feel that threat coming so strongly from this person that you would, like, physically distance yourself from that person. She always had that with Shyam, and I think that's why it always felt creepy that though he looks like he's doing everything right, okay, whatever he's saying sounds absolutely sensible and logical, it is still somewhere very disturbing, because Khushi showed zero interest. There was zero consent from her side. And this guy is somehow, like, dreaming about this woman and fantasizing about her while hugging his wife. I was disturbed. Like, wow, that is some brilliant writing. That is some brilliant acting. Dude, you guys have, like... And like you rightly said, he was never obvious with what was his agenda. You're always guessing along with everybody else that, do I really root for him? Like, or do I very clearly know that he is going to be the, like, you know, villain of this show? So that's what I say, because Arnav for me used to do the wrong things in a very obvious, straightforward manner. So it was very easy for me to say, you know, you're wrong. I don't like this. And with Shyam, I had to really think hard and figure out why, what is the sense of discomfort I'm constantly having when I'm seeing this guy on screen. What is happening?
Absolutely. I think Shyam's unpredictability is what really made him the villain. Like, I do not know what this guy is going to do next. So I think I was always pleasantly surprised. Like, if I'm impressed by villains, I'm pleasantly surprised as to what his next step would be. And now shifting to our other two favorite characters that I love. First of all, the Raizada men are gorgeous. because Akash is wearing the suit that Arnav wears for Haldi, and boy oh boy.
Yes, yes. I too noticed this and I wrote this down. That is, I think, a major goof up that the production team made. But the costume.
Both of them pull it off. I don't have any complaints. Yeah, both of them look hot in it. Yeah. Why? Jab dono hai hot, to what problem hai mujhe? I have no problem. I'm just like, wow, Akash, you look handsome. Oh, Arnav borrowing Akash's wardrobe? Yeah, because 90% of the time his wardrobe at least has more variety than yours. So yeah, sure, why not? They both look amazing. Yeah. And I love Akash and Payal's scene. It's so tiny, but it is so sweet. He shyly gives her handkerchief. Like, they are such a good antithesis to what Arnav and Khushi are. Like, you know, there's fire. And also their color scheme. One thing that I found so intelligent and beautiful is that both Arnav and Khushi are following warm colors. He's brown and she's red. So Akash and Payal are following cool colors. He's dark blue and she's light blue. So I really, like, I did not mind that they were putting it out in our face that these two couples are completely different from each other, because I love it. On one side, you have Arnav and Khushi like violently, passionately arguing with each other and everything. I'm not a fan of the context of the argument, just letting you know, but I do love the physical closeness that they have. On the other end, Akash is like 1 mile away and extending his long hand for that one little handkerchief that Payal dropped. Yes, sir. And Mami apparently happens to be the one person with peripheral vision in this.
Yeah.
But her expressions are so hilarious and I love it. But I just love how beautiful and respectful Akash and Payal are. It's beautiful to watch. I'm always half in love with them. They're on screen and I'm like, yes, I'm in love with you too. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, so this was the time, like, barring this one thing that Mami did, which was like really disturbing, I think she had all the best one-liners of the show. Like her remarks and her dialogues, I was just like, this is like some stellar writing from the dialogue team. This actress is fantastic. She makes such inane things sound hilarious. And you really want to, like, you know, yeah, okay, what did she just say? Okay, she was like absolutely bang on. And, you know, one more thing I really liked during this phase was the Gupta family. Everybody's a champ. Buaji in a heartbeat supports the nieces. Okay, obviously then when things don't work out, she does react. But I think for her, during that phase, it was expected. Khushi with her resilience, her optimism, her charm, her beauty, her everything. I was just like, Khushi, you are my queen, okay? No matter what you do, I'm always going to support you. Payal, good Lord, the gentle, sensible way in a soft spoken manner, she would speak so much sense. And she, like we all know, she never got the opportunity to have, like, you know, too many dialogues, but so important to, like, make things move. Khushi's confused. Make Khushi understand what she needs to do. Khushi is angry. Make her see sense what she needs to do. And I think the only, coming to Akash, I think he's the only guy in that family, I think, who was a genuinely nice person. Though Mama Ji also used to come with his, like, you know, used to come with his sensible, but what I realized, he too came with his own casual sexism, like, you know, one casual comment about women and the trouble and how much trouble they are, blah, blah, blah. Akash, I don't remember him saying anything off like this ever in the show. He was, I think, the only guy who was thoroughly sensible and who was a gentleman. Like, everybody else was a very poor host. They were very, like everybody is just acting out all the time. This is the only guy who, like, makes me feel like, you know, you were the only good guy. And I really am rooting for you.
I am believing the time from when Bubbly enters Akash and Payal's marriage to another creepy angle, yes, to Akash blaming the whole sham mess on Payal's head as a little, like, alternate universe Akash. Yes, you're absolutely right. I completely agree with you on that. And now talking to about their cousins, I really like the structure of their argument about, like, you know, one reason why I always ship Arnav and Khushi is because it's Arnav and Khushi. I mean, I usually never bring IPK3 into my conversation, But I mean, I did like and dislike the show for its reasons. But one of the reasons why I always had difficulty shipping Advay and Chandni is because I felt Advay hurt her way too much for, and she did not, like, she did not have resistance. And she did not, like, they were not elementally equal. I felt Chandni needed a person who was more understanding in her life. I just felt they were disbalanced when it came to that level. But with Arnav and Khushi, the only reason why I can ship these two is because they're complete equals when it comes to who they are as personalities. They're equally strong. They're equally stubborn. It's literally a battle of equals. Like, had Khushi been a bit like Payal, had Khushi been a bit softer than what she was, I would have never shipped her with Arnav, because I'd be like, no woman, you need a kinder person in your life. So I really like their argument because it's literally like a ping pong match. Arnav says one thing, Khushi says another, Arnav says one thing. And I really love this particular moment in the argument where Arnav starts to say that people like you can do anything for money. And Khushi just glares at him and Arnav stops midway. Like, he doesn't have the courage to say more than that because Khushi just glares at him. And I really like it that in the beginning, when Arnav enters in his entitled self being like, you told you'd go to Lucknow forever, I'm just like, wow, that's interesting. This is not a breakup, buddy. You cannot step in and be like, you told me you're going somewhere else. How come you're here? So I really like that Khushi is like, I will not answer your thing and I will walk away from here. So I really like that interaction between Arnav and Khushi over there. I think that argument was very well structured and kind of showed us that, yeah, these two people are made of the same thing. So it's easy to put these two guys together. I also like it that Akash is the only person who kind of gets his mother, because he's the only person who does not laugh at, like, he does not make fun of mommy. He rather, when he watches his mother, like, you know, be all, oh, I don't care about this jewelry, but where did you buy it from? Akash just laughs in the corner. He's like, oh, this is typical mom. And I think I found that very respectful. Like, he's not someone to just immediately be like, oh, mom. He's never like, mom is embarrassing me. He's just like, this is my typical mom. And I love two things that happens when Shyam disappears suddenly after watching Khushi. I really love that him disappearing has an actual impact on the family. Arnav is worried and concerned because this is not typical Shyam behavior to escape, like, you know, to disappear on an important event. Anjali is disturbed. I liked it that Shyam creating a deviation from his routine life, because Khushi is someone, if we believe, who accidentally appeared in Shyam's life. Like, Shyam has to behave differently. So I liked that it gave some cracks in the family. Because I always imagined that these actions would lead, I don't know what storyline they had for Shyam originally, but I always believed that these little cracks and loopholes that Shyam really could not cover up would later lead to a proper realization for the whole Rise of the family that, yeah, you know what? Like, you kind of realize the red flags after the end of a relationship. So I always thought that these are the things that when they would have to connect, it would come and it would literally fall in front of their eyes. They'd be like, yeah, like, Khushi arrived and Shyam disappeared, or Shyam would keep on disappearing. Like, so I thought that these were some of the things that they could genuinely connect. So I really liked that Shyam, because later in the show, I don't know, Shyam would probably sit in front of their eyes and do black magic and they won't even see it. But over here, I just love the fact that Shyam disappears and Arnav is concerned, Nani is concerned, everyone is concerned. And the flip side that I really like is how Khushi comforts Anjali. There are a few lines that Khushi says when she comforts Anjali, is that rituals are meaningless in a marriage. What matters is the trust and communication and companionship in the relationship, to paraphrase her. And I love it so much because I love how Sanaya plays Khushi with a touch of gravity. And this is where we understand that Khushi's not a manic pixie dream girl who just thinks of marriages in terms of jewelry and saris and makeup. She sees marriage as something more fundamental. in life, and which is why I get so pissed off later in the show when she harps about rituals, rituals, rituals for marriage, because that's an exact opposite of the woman we see here. I would have any day taken Khushi not being comfortable to live with Arnav post 6 months, because he never respectfully told her what's her place in the household and in his life, as opposed to, oh, Arnav, we did not take Saat Feres, because this woman does not care about that.
Correct, correct. Absolutely agree with you. So, yeah, like I said, like, you know, Khushi, she was being an absolute champ for me in this entire phase. I have not even one thing that I can point out and say, you know, I was not aligned to what was being shown as, like, you know, Khushi's actions or her thoughts. She was being a champ. And like I said, I just felt Sanaya look like a dream in that red salwar kameez with that beautiful, like, you know, like, and this understated makeup and that slightly, like, you know, disheveled look, because it showed that, even though she was running from corner to corner trying to make the entire thing happen and, like, you know, deliver, like, you know, finish her set of deliveries and everything. Barun, I found Arnav more interesting in this phase, because this was the period when, like you rightly said, he was again starting to say things like, you know, Aukat, blah, 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 and, like, you know, but he was, I just felt he was not, his heart, like, he was not saying those things with full conviction like he used to say in the initial phase, because this is the time, because the tipping point had already happened. He knew what he had done was extremely wrong, and Khushi was definitely not the person he thought she was. Okay, she had more character, she displayed, like, you know, many more facets and all that. So he knew he was wrong, but he obviously has to be himself and say, like, you know, still have those kind of arguments with her, and she stops him with that one glare, and he stops because he knows he's not speaking sense. That's absolutely, like, stupid whatever he was trying to say there. And again, Barun's that one delivery, like, you know, she's something is being said about ki aapka ghar, and he says mera hi ghar hai, like that he just, like, injects it. It's not said, like, after her statement is completely over and there is a pause. I don't think she hasn't even finished saying that dialogue, and he's like he just, like, just plunges at it. I think he was deadly with his dialogue delivery there. He looked like a dream, all that is there. But what I really found very interesting about this guy is, he obviously, when he doesn't have the crutch of his thinking part supporting his, like, you know, illogical thinking, he reacts, which is more instinctive, and it's, like, you know. So there, his immediate response upon seeing Khushi was, "Are you are still here? Like, hang on, I want to talk to you," because he tries to stop her from running away. But then again, he had a gap. He could, like, you know, start thinking, and, like, his usual, like, you know, thing started. Okay, she's conning me. She's not as nice as she's pretending to be. Blah, 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 blah. And then he goes and attacks her. And I think he has a problem with projection. He did that on that night. He does that on the night of Diwali. He'll do something instinctively. Okay, he will not like it. He will not like that action. He will get some time to think about it. He'll form his arguments, and then he'll go and attack that person. I was like, why are you like this? Again, same question. Why, Arna? Why would you do this?
Therapy. Like, dude needs therapy. This is what happens with trauma.
He does need it. And one great thing, again, about Mami, you know, though she had her flaws and everything, I think the way she would support her niece and her nephew whenever, like, you know, they would need that kind of boost up, I think it's very nice. The way she, like, you know, changed that entire atmosphere of gloom and doom when they realize that, you know, Sham is not there and she has to, like, face everybody and people are asking questions, like, you know, where is the guy? And she would just, like, you know, bring in a dose of, like, you know, levity and everything, and she just tried to make her niece feel happy for a moment. She has done that, like, you know, she will do that throughout the show. Like, I just felt that was very... Again, like with Sham, you can't, like, really say that, okay, she is the negative character, because she had, like, too many other things happening, like, you know, and she's doing too many other things to give her that, like, you know, tag that, okay, she's the villain of the show. Again, I really love that. I really love the kind of, like, sensibility she would, like, you know, display toward these kind of situations.
Yes. And I love that Arnav started increasing his Khushi shrine. Like he keeps, I just love that they utilize silence, as I said before. Like, it's amazing that the moment he finds Khushi's pile, there's nothing. It's just 2 minutes of Arnav staring at a pile. And he has these memories as to how it dropped. And he just looks like, even when Khushi actively drops the pile in front of him, he just looks at it for a long time. And I think it's just because he's so quiet, we can overtly romanticize it that he fell in love with Khushi, or we can be a bit more practical and be like, this man cannot part with something that's left with Khushi. He's just attracted to it. He's attracted to it like he's attracted to her. Like Ritz keeps on saying that Arnav rubba ways with virtually everything. And another thing that I really liked about this is Arnav's anger on Lavanya, when Lavanya kind of, I mean, the character dealer, we'll discuss that in the point of focus and everything. But the way he's angry on Lavanya, I found that to be very interesting, because it's not the way he usually gets angry. Because when he gets, we've seen him yelling and, like, you know, we've seen him the way he is with Khushi. So I totally expected Arnav to, like, you know, blow his fuse, and not that I would have liked it, not at all. But his anger over here is actually very subtle. Like, he's quiet. He gives her the hangover medicines. He gives her the headache pill, waits for a hangover to get over. And then he's just quiet. And he actually has a very sensible argument with her. He tells her that this was his D's anniversary and he needed some things perfectly. And he had told Lavanya that, like, you know, there shouldn't be any alcohol in the house, and he hurt everyone. And she hurt everyone. And when Lavanya truly apologizes, Arnav mellows down and just gives like a non-committal nod to what she says. And I'm like, dude, you have the capability of being properly angry at someone? Because what Lavanya did, anyone would be upset. Like, you know, at my brother's anniversary, if my boyfriend ended up like being drunk and everything, I'd be like, it's the one day that you had to not cause a problem. That's what I really liked. And I really like that when Lavanya apologizes to him later and she's kind of like, you know, is there anyone more important in your life apart from me? And I mean, apart from Dee. And Arnav thinks of Khushi, but he says nothing. And he's like, no one. Again, the lack of monologue really serves, right? And the fact that he said before that Arnav treats every flashback of Khushi with skepticism. The only time where he fondly remembers her is, I think, right before Diwali, when he looks at the little fairy lights. That's, I think, one of the few times where he fondly, like right before Diwali. I think it's a very good way of building up attraction also.
Up until that period, it was mostly an intrusion. These kind of thoughts, like, you know, whenever they would come, they would be shown mostly in it's almost not welcomed by either of these guys. Like, you know, like, why am I even thinking about this person? And Khushi would actually talk about it a lot more. He is somebody who is just bottling down everything. Khushi is also feeling the same thing, but she'll talk about it, and her sister will constantly tell her that, why are you still thinking about Arnav? Like, you have so many more important things to concentrate upon, like this, like, you know, that order that you have taken up and everything. So yeah, I like I said, that writing was very consistent, and that's why, like, all the beautiful moments we have, they all feel very earned. None of those moments were, like, you know, shoehorned just because kuch dikhane ke liye nahi tha. So ek scene dal dete hai. It is very evident that it came because of the reason. And coming to this point, you know, like, I'm like, you know, like jumping a few steps here. This is the scene. I found it very interesting. It was like pretty inconsequential in terms of, like, you know, the overall thing that we are discussing is that scene when Shyam sees that Anjali and Mami are coming over to Gupta house. They have built that entire scene to give a reason to Shyam to be that close to a window. They have, I actually noticed it. It's there very clearly in the writing. There are dialogues built around it. Why is this? How does he see that these guys are about to enter the house? And how does he get the time ki abhi I need to hide myself? Okay, I can't be seen here. Okay, it's not because he was just randomly standing there. It's very nice. Like, somebody in the team actually asked the question that, why does he get to see them? And writing supports that question. So writing, like I said, double thumbs up.
Absolutely. And now I think that wraps up all the likes from my end. So we will shift to the point of focus, which is the whole Lavanya surprise to Anjali and Shyam. So I'll start with my two cents over here. This is one point where I understood where Lavanya could be properly reprimanded, is because she thought that she'd give something to Anjali and Shyam that she likes. And I'm like, that's a great way of researching gifts for someone. I think that was pretty fascinating. This is one point where I could be like, yeah, Lavanya, it was your mistake. You tried to give a couple who is very evidently a little bit more conservative something that you preferred without trying to search, like, you know, what would that other couple like? And this is something that would grab attention. You know, so I'm just like, huh, this is the first time where Lavanya made a mistake, and I could agree that it's a mistake, not as harshly as Nani, not like you have ruined my sanskar or anything, but I did notice that Shyam and Anjali were visibly uncomfortable with the surprise, and I'm like, yeah, you should have kind of consulted with someone who's close to them. Like, I think the reason this mistake works as a mistake is because Lavanya brought a gift for, like, you know, she got a gift for Anjali and Shyam, and Anjali and Shyam did not like it, and she did something that obviously garnered a lot of eyeballs. And then she did, like, yes, then Nani did speak bullshit, and I don't blame Lavanya for drinking way too much. I mean given the way Nani is, anyone would drink themselves to death, but I do see that being a mistake of Lavanya. Said yes, you should have thought what the couple in question, what are they like?
So I have a slightly different point of view here. See, I agree that prima facie that looked like that she had made a mistake, but this is where I always felt, okay, Arnav was very absent in the relationship that he had with Lavanya. Okay, he just asked her, tumne kya, okay, I this is where I was quite stumped. Okay, you appreciate her for the professional skill set she has, correct? She said, would you like me to work with you to organize this thing? He said, nay, I don't trust anybody. But you trust her with your office work, right? Because you've acknowledged that she's a very good asset for you for AI design. Then what happens? Then this is not in support of the other things that you have said in the past, okay? So fine, you don't want to do it because this is a very personal thing for you that you do every year for your jijaji and bibi. Fantastic. Okay. Uske baad nobody base. I have never seen this guy have any conversation with her. I agree that the makers chose not to show it because that's not the main couple that we have to be invested for. I get that. Okay. But that's why always never understood the attraction from Lavanya's side was always shown. It was evident she was making, I think she was doing the hard work in the relationship. He was just there, okay? Like, he's like leaving mid-conversation. He's not asking her properly, what have you done? She said, she's somehow very sure that what she thought she was going to do for the couple was the right thing to do. And this is where I'm very surprised. What made her think that anybody is going to enjoy that surprise? There's a major gap in communication. If you are in a relationship with a person and you know what his family is like, you know, because you have faced a side of it, and that's why this entire thing is happening. You have to stay here. This is this trial period, and you have to prove yourself capable of being a Raizada Bahu and all that. I get that. But how could she make such a big mistake? Because it shows that she has zero understanding, or she was like, really being mischievous here, which I don't think was the case at all. I think there's a clear gap of communication. There's a complete misunderstanding of what the two parties are supposed to like and dislike. So she went completely off with her surprise. She got judged because of that. And in terms of, again, once this entire thing is over and she realizes she was completely wrong in what she had thought she was going to, like, you know, delight everything. But what again really surprises me, after that incident, again, she's like, Nani is being like very angry about what had happened. She's very displeased about it. She's again having conversation with everybody, but Lavanya is not present. People are speaking on behalf of Lavanya. Like, again, Shyam is trying to say the right things. He is saying the right things. Anjali is also saying the right thing. Arnav is there because, like, Lavanya has come into this household because of him. Again, somebody's behavior, somebody's judgment is being questioned and critiqued, and that person is not there. Nobody's speaking to her. Then what exactly are you trying to achieve here? How do you, like, she's somebody who is supposed to become a family member after a few months, and she's nowhere in the conversation that anybody is having. And this time the conversation is about her and her behavior and her thinking, because there's a clear mismatch between the two ends, right? I just fail to understand how could anybody go so wrong in thinking. She didn't know, she knew ki Raiza the house mein alcohol nahi allow her. That's why, like, you know, the champagne that she originally got as a gift, she ended up having that because she knew ki she's not going to get alcohol anywhere else in the house. So, matlab itna bada blunder kaise ho jata hai? This is where I felt, you know, like Lavanya, like you said, like, you know, Nani was constantly making comparison between Lavanya and Khushi to show, like, you know, how Khushi is a better person. I think everything that Lavanya did, at least for a certain period, was always to show how Khushi is a better choice for Arnav. Because other than these kind of conversations happening and those few moments between Arnav and Khushi, the show was not really doing anything to support the romantic journey of the two leads. There was nothing, right? They're either fighting or Arnav is doing something very, very wrong and you really can't support it after the point. Khushi is afraid of him and she has all the rights in the world to be afraid of him. How do you, and this is what, this is the 56th or 57th episode. So that means what, at least 2-3 months have already, like, since the show has started. This is, I think, either the third or the fourth month when this incident is happening. And we still have nothing, no solid romance happening between the leads. Because, like I said, none of the moments felt like they have been added just because they had to add it. It was a very natural progression. But like you said, it was a slow burn. It took its own sweet time to reach that pinnacle, right? So that's where I just felt that, you know, Lavanya, I think, you're very lucky that she got the end that she got. But other than that, whatever else she did in that show, I think it got a very shoddy treatment, honestly speaking.
Yeah, like I felt that if you did genuinely want to bring the comparison of Lavanya and Khushi, it won't have hurt to make Lavanya a bit more selfish in this episode, like genuinely a bit more selfish in this episode. I think you're right. I think what genuinely happened was a miscommunication. I thought Lavanya, maybe because Anjali was supportive of Lavanya, that Lavanya probably misunderstood that what she likes is what Anjali would like. Perhaps Nani is the only, like, sore, I don't know, sore spot in the family. She's the only one who causes issues. But if you genuinely did want to show a difference between Lavanya and Khushi, then one good point would have been that when Anjali is crying over Shyam not being there, you could have shown Lavanya being a little rude to Anjali. You could have shown Lavanya being like, the does it not matter that Jijaji is always here? He's not always going to be next to you. He's a working professional. You are at home. You don't understand what happens when someone's in the workspace. Like, maybe Lavanya is a little bit frazzled by the end of the day of just everything. And Lavanya being, you know, Lavanya just being a little bit rude towards Anjali when Khushi would actually pacify Anjali with her proper. Like, if you want to show that comparison, show it. Like, don't shy away from that. Show that. And I would have been like, yeah, in that comparison, Khushi is genuinely a better human being. And then my main problem with this whole thing is, I mean, okay, Lavanya choosing to drink and not being able to handle a drink and then creating that whole ruckus, indeed, very, I can clearly see why that would cause like a massive, like, maybe kind of a scandal and kind of like it'll just be embarrassing for the family. So very understandable over there. But Lavanya's also been pushed to a point that no matter what she does, she will constantly be compared and belittled for every single thing. which gets me on my nerves. I'm like, this woman has been pushed. Anyone who's constantly been pushed to this end would be... I just wish they really showed Lavanya making a massive mistake over here. Because this woman was unfortunately really pushed to her edge to act out. And I mean, her boyfriend Arnav gets to the edge for much less. Just saying.
So another thing, like, nobody stood up for Lavanya because that was the right thing to do. Everybody would do it because they had to pacify Nani. It was never done for the right reason. They're always trying to pacify. Even if people are saying the right thing, it is not, because, you know, that is the right thing to fight for. Okay. It's always, okay, Nani is upset. We need to pacify her. Let us tell her these things. That should calm her down, which is fantastic. But like I said, like you were also saying, like the show had given enough reasons to Lavanya to act out, honestly speaking. And she, I don't know why she did what she did. That is kind of like still a mystery to me. But I am like in Lavanya camp, honestly speaking. I just don't see, like, you know, how do you expect a person to show consistent good behavior when you are giving nothing good to her in return? You're being constantly negative to her. You're constantly, like, you know, nitpicking on things. You are never being supportive of anything. You're never even showing appreciation if when she's trying to do something right, or when she's actually doing something. When she says, ki, Nani, aaj main naha ke aayi hoon, you're still giving, like, you know, like giving her that look. You should have, that's an improvement, right? Last time she did something wrong, you got mad at her. She has, like, mended her with, right? But no, so yeah, I that's why I just said I'm like very biased towards Lavanya, and I really, really cannot stand Nani.
I'm just like, if you're making Lavanya a project to be fixed, I have a lot of distaste in my mouth when I'm saying this, but if you're making Lavanya someone who needs to be fixed, then give her actual problems. Like, you know, forgetting a bath before she goes to the temple, before she goes to the temple for a prayer, or like just having a surprise that backfires is not enough. Give me a place where she probably actually does not understand adults. Maybe she genuinely, which they actually pretty well did in the first time Lavanya enters Shantivan, is that when she meets Rahim Chacha, she actually talks to him really in a bad way because he's a servant. And you're like, oh, okay, that's an actual flaw that I could see, that if as a grandmother, like, you know, the best way to judge a person is to see how they treat to people who are below their class. So when I looked at that, I'm like, oh, Lavanya, you have problems. So I'm just like, give her actual problems, because I just feel the way the whole family reacted. I can see Arnav getting angry on Lavanya because he specifically told her not to drink, and the next thing he sees is she's all drunk and creating a bandage. That's the only point when I'm not really upset on Arnav. But just the whole family really overreacted to Lavanya. Like, Lavanya not being able to cook, Lavanya... I mean, come on, dude. She's probably working 12 hours a day. Like, what would she cook? What's wrong with you?
And these are not problems. These are lifestyle choices, or these are some things which are, like, you know, supporting her lifestyle, which is different from yours. Big deal. I really don't know, when they have such a big household and they have so many households, why is it so important for the daughter-in-law or any woman of the house to know how to cook? I don't get that. I don't get that. Like, you know, what is more important? Your, like, the mental well-being and overall happiness of like your grandson, or like these kind of tokenish things? So, like I said, it did perpetuate very archaic thoughts and, like, you know, beliefs that are, like, you know, still plaguing our society. Okay. And Khushi, because she also represented that kind of mindset and thought process, and that aligned with Nani's like, you know, way of thinking. So Khushi looked like a winner to Nani, and that's why Nani, like, did this entire, like, you know, she constructed the entire thing in such a way that Anjali ended up feeling that, you know, she needs to get Khushi here to, like, you know, course correct the entire situation with Lavanya. But I don't know, like, I really like Lavanya. Like, again, I'm saying, why would you do this to her? And she looked like such a dream. Like, you know, she, like, look at her makeup and her clothes. She was like, what? She was like somebody had drawn her. She was looking so glamorous and gorgeous. Like, why would you be so nasty to somebody who is so, so, like, I really like Lavanya. Like I said, she has a flaw. She has been nasty, like without any provocation or anything. Those are character flaws. But, like, I really like Lavanya. Like, don't be mean to her, please. Like,
yeah, no, I feel that this situation could have been easily remedied if they actually, like, this was a missed opportunity in my eyes. I feel I would have been much more okay with Khushi coming to so-called train Lavanya if they used Anjali and Shyam's anniversary to actually show some problematic things that Lavanya has. Like, probably once Lavanya is done with everything, then and Anjali is very uncomfortable, then Lavanya would be like, I don't know why everyone's cribbing. It was just a dance. And so what? If, like, Dee should be, if Dee allows me to live in this house, she should be more open-minded. And probably Khushi confronts Lavanya. Like, maybe Khushi has this habit of overhearing anyone saying anything wrong and then marching in and saying the right thing. And I could have clearly understood why Anjali or Nani would think if that way, if Khushi corrected Lavanya, being like, but Dee is not comfortable and this is her day. She's supposed to be happy. It's not that if Khushi told Lavanya that your form of enjoyment is not wrong, but today when you're celebrating somebody else's happiness, what matters is that person's happiness. And maybe seeing that, Anjali would be like, you know what? Something is here. Like, I wish they truly showed Lavanya to be self-centered, because this was a really good
opportunity. But she was not.
She was not. Like, there was a miscommunication over here. Honestly, I think what you said over there was pretty much right. And oh my god, the family did overreact. And I'm also just like, I don't know why Mama and Akash were so passive in the storyline.
They were just like something that the R team had used for set decor. Like, that's all they did there. Like, Mama especially, he did nothing.
He did nothing. I think he just told Akash not to get married. His advice to Akash was not to get married.
Yeah, I said no. There was a nice sprinkle of casual sexism. So I was like, seriously, there's so many flaws, but I can't be a complete troll about it. So.
Yeah, but that's fair. And I mean, that song is like, look at the irony that they this is one thing somebody else mentioned, that they're dancing to character Dheela and roughly a year later they're going to watch the film in a cinema hall.
Oh yeah, actually that's a very, very good way to analyze how bizarre things had become.
That's it.
That's so right.
It does not exist.
That's an observation.
Yeah, but all in all, to wrap up this track, I think first of all, they both looked gorgeous and everyone looked pretty in this scene. Like, this was, I don't know what happened. God knows what churan everyone had, that like they just went on an overdrive on making everyone beautiful. Arnav is handsome, Akash is handsome, Payal and Khushi and Anjali are just killing everyone with their
Shyam was also looking very nice. He's a good looking guy.
Abbas is very handsome and Shyam is also looking nice, but I'm like, probably he went overboard with the Sherwani. Like, I would have just
that is Anjali ji's choice, so I'm not gonna find flaws there, so it's okay. They're allowed to go over blingy, it's okay.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, Shyam, that's probably a bit too much glitter on your Sherwani, but anyways, I really liked how everything happened, and it's still a great track. And oh my god, I'm trying to imagine how I will control myself for the next track, because it's when Khushi gets hired, and I'm bringing up big guns when it comes to not liking tracks of this show.
Yeah, that was again a very problematic phase of this show.
And yeah.
For the first time, it was not because of Arnav.
It was not, well, his older sister.
For the first time. At least for me, I never felt that he is the person that is, like, drawing all my attention away from everybody else's draw.
No, I sympathized for Arnav. Imagine coming home and realizing that your sister hired the one woman you are subconsciously incredibly physically attracted to train your current girlfriend, becoming the one thing that you really disliked and liked about Lavanya is that she's non-traditional and they're turning her traditional. Like, I felt so bad for Arnav. If I was in his shoes, I was like, boy. You should have eloped with Lavanya, just saying, if you wanted to live
Yeah,
with her.
I was just like so taken aback by Anjali's deviousness. I think everybody's very devious in the family. At least the people who are shown to be good, they're quite devious. Like, it is
Shantivan is
just
not
that
Shantivan.
they all are like pretty cunning and devious at the end of the day. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Except Lakshmi.
Yeah, Lakshmi. And I think Rahim Chacha and the Prakash brother.
Rahim Chacha leaves midway. He's like, I can't deal with
I was just wondering what happened to Rahim Chacha. Like all of a sudden there was this influx of the Prakash brothers. Like we have Hari Prakash, Om Prakash, Sam Prakash or the other. And there is no Rahim Chacha in the house. I really miss Rahim Chacha because Rahim Chacha would never do his job. He would always delegate his job to Khushi. And Khushi would always like do the wrong thing because of that one incident by Rahim Chacha. So yeah. Rahim Chacha is actually another villain of the show. I just realized it today.
But yeah, thank you, Amrita. Thank you so much for being a part of today's podcast. This is the first time in my life where we had an intro of 1 hour long that's not recorded, but had so much of
Yeah.
fun having you on board. How did you like it here?
I am just too happy to be here, and I'm like really, really, really thankful that you and Rich started this and gave me this opportunity to come and have a chat. I know I blabbered a lot, and most of the things I'm not sure whether they even made any sense or not. But like I'm saying, I just love the way you guys analyze like even the smallest of the things, which would like while watching you don't even realize that something has happened, but like you would still have such a heartfelt long conversation about these points. It's happening because of you guys, and I am just so happy. I'm really, really, really thankful that you guys gave me this opportunity, and it was so amazing. I really loved it.
No, I really, really loved this. I think Riz would also love you immensely because she is Go Arnavin jail team.
Yeah.
Yes.
That thing, like my thoughts are more closely aligned to this than yours. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, and with that, we come to an end with this episode. Our next episode, as you guys already heard, we'll be covering Raksha Bandhan and Kushi getting hired to work as Lavanya's trainer. This is the weirdest My Fair Lady situation I've seen. I don't see how Lavanya and Kushi didn't fall in love with this process. But with that, we are done with today's episode. Thank you to all of us who heard our buck bucks for so long. We love you all so much and catch us next week, same time. Bye bye.
Bye. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe.